So those of you who were with us last week had the opportunity to engage in the ritual called the burning bowl, where we release to the fire any of our attitudes, behaviors, or just actions that really were not serving our greater good. And after the burning bowl, for a few moments in the meditation, we visualize what our lives would be like with these barriers released. We visualize how it would affect our relationships and our thoughts and just every single aspect of our lives. So today we're going to engage in another sacred ritual called the White Stone Ceremony. This is where we will have an opportunity to really claim our new identity. We've released what needs to go, and now we're claiming what needs to be. And Unity Minister Kelly Isola says, "Recognize you are a sparkling present from the cosmos, and it is time to unwrap yourself in order to share your magnificence with the world." And so today we're going to engage in this White Stone Ceremony that helps us explore that mystic pull to exhibit our magnificence as we ask ourselves a very important question: what am I called to be in 2019? As I release those old, unproductive thoughts and habits, what fills the space? What is my new name? What is my new identity? So this ceremony is based on a verse, actually just one verse from Revelation 2:17. "Let anyone who has ears listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To those who win the victory," some versions say "to those who conquer," "to those who conquer or win the victory, I will give some of the manna. I will also give each of them a white stone on which is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." Now, before we really unpack this verse and explore its meaning, it's really important to put the whole book of Revelation in context. It is filled with obscure, frightening imagery, bizarre creatures, and strange events. Honestly, I don't recommend it for nighttime reading unless you're going for nightmares. Then it might work. We are talking about rivers of blood, plagues of locusts, a giant red dragon, and a beast with seven heads, just to name a few of the characters. No one should be surprised to realize that this book is not about literal events. It's neither an historical record nor an apocalyptic prediction. In fact, the Greek root of the word revelation means unfolding or unveiling of things not previously known. The book of Revelation is an allegory about the spiritual path. Metaphysically, all those various creatures, weird as they may be, represent different states of consciousness. And the underlining theme of the entire book is about our own Christ essence. This particular verse that we're looking at today focuses on two actions and three promises. So what is the first action? The verse says, anyone who has ears do what? Listen, absolutely, listen. Not with a physical ear, but with the ear of the soul that hears that still small voice whispering within. And we develop this inner listening quality through prayer and meditation, practices that help us quiet our minds and attune to that divine voice of wisdom, resulting in deep, intuitive knowing. The second action is actually to surrender. The phrase is, to anyone who will overcome, and that refers not to outer battles, outer wars, conquering foreign invaders, or distant lands. It, like many things that matter to us, it is an inner struggle. What we are asked to overcome is that loud, demanding voice of human consciousness, urging us to do, to take, to exert power, to compete, to trample sometimes upon others. When instead we listen to that still small voice of the higher self, we claim our spiritual qualities. The paradox here is that when we surrender personal will to divine will, there is victory. Through surrender comes victory. It's the victory of letting go and letting God be God in us and through us. And the three promises are to those who accomplish this spiritual victory. The first promise is hidden manna. Literally, the word manna in the Hebrew meant food. In the days of wandering in the wilderness with Moses, the Hebrews received daily manna for God. They did not have to work for it. They did not have to ask for it or earn it. All they had to do was show up and collect their daily bread. So manna is that symbol of always present, always available divine substance and protection. But notice the verse says hidden manna, manna not visible to the outer eyes. In the wilderness of spiritual searching, we receive hidden manna. As we realize the power of the indwelling Christ, this promise is fulfilled and we experience a new source of nourishment and energy. The hidden manna from the Christ within nourishes our whole being, body, spirit, and soul. Jesus told his disciples and us in John 4:32, "I have food that you know not of." This inner or spiritual food is the understanding of truth upon which we become aware of and develop our Christ selves. And the second part of the promise is, "And I will give you a white stone." Now in Jesus' day, when prisoners were released from prison, they were given a white stone to symbolize their new freedom. And they actually carried their white stone around for all to see as proof that they had fulfilled their obligations, their slates were clean, and they were completely free. And the point is, how many of us have been imprisoned by the self-inflicted nonsense of our own error thinking? False limitations that we put on spirit or on ourselves, thinking that we are unworthy or unable, are not destined to be all that we really were meant to be. And with a release from old bondage comes a sense of freedom, a sense of worthiness, a sense of oneness. Our white stones symbolize that we are free and unlimited, beloved of, and one with God. So our final, third and final promise is, "I will give you a new name that no one except the one who receives it knows." To the ancient Hebrews, we've talked about this before, a name was sacred. Every name represented a quality, and parents chose their children's name based on whatever essence they saw or hoped to see in the newborn child. Throughout the Bible, name changes signify higher consciousness and spiritual awakening. From the Hebrew Bible, Abram, meaning father, becomes Abraham, meaning founder of a nation. And Abraham becomes the patriarch of the Jewish people. His wife Sarai, meaning bitter and contentious, I'm not sure how you'd see that in a child, but never mind. That was the name, what the name went, meaning bitter and contentious, becomes Sarah, meaning noble woman. And in the New Testament, Jesus changes the name of Simon, meaning receptivity, to Peter, in Greek, meaning rock. Remember, Jesus said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." And he wasn't talking about a physical place. He was talking about on this consciousness, in this faith. So Peter is a symbol of unyielding faith. And remember, when Jesus said to the disciples, "Who do you think I am?" Peter was the first one to say, "You are the Christ." Likewise, Saul, this is one of the most dramatic ones, I think. Saul, meaning personal will, after being struck blind and brought to his knees on the road to Damascus, becomes Paul, meaning enlightened will. Enlightened Paul moves from persecuting the Christians to spreading the word throughout the Mediterranean. So biblical names changes always signify the freedom of spiritual awakening and the understanding of one's spiritual purpose. In Isaiah 62:2, we read, "You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord shall bestow." And in the words of Bible scholar Ed Townley, we need to know two important things that we need to embark on upon discovering our spiritual purpose. First, that the presence and power of God will sustain and nourish us, just as it nourished the Israelites in the wilderness. And second, no matter how dark the shadows seem, or how far we seem to have wandered from our spiritual path, we are always closely and intimately linked with our spiritual source. That is the meaning of the white stone with the secret name. It is like a spiritual identity card, affirming our innate oneness with God, and we can be sure of that oneness always. And so, the new name you received today, to be written on a white stone, is about no less. Your stone is from a company called Jerusalem Stones, located near Jerusalem. And the word Jerusalem in Hebrew means the vision and foundation of peace, the constitution of harmony, abode of prosperity. So please now open your little packages and take the card out, if you will. And if you didn't get one, would you raise your hand? Everybody get, good job, ushers, thank you. Take your little card out, and you will see on the back, yes, raise your hand if you need one, you will see on the back a map showing the location of the quarry near Hebron and Bethlehem. And as you take the white stone out and hold it in your hand, and we'll be using it later, just keep your marker to one side for now, notice that white symbolizes, or no, I should say, that white symbolizes a purified state of the I Am consciousness, an awakening to the inner spirit, the freedom that comes from knowing God and I are one. Remember when Moses asked God his name, what God replied? God said, "I am that I am. I am that I am." And in this higher white stone consciousness, today we listen for and claim an entirely new realization of our I Am identity. We receive hidden manna, all the gifts of God and full potential by consciously surrendering and knowing. God is I Am. Would you say that with me three times? God is I Am. God is I Am. God is I Am. And so in a few moments during a time of meditation, you will write on the white stone your new name, what you have come here to be. Writing on a rock, the symbol of understanding faith, will bring you the faith to become what you write this day. For as the authors of the book, Who Have I Come Here to Be, write, we live in a world of infinite potential, where every possibility exists at once until the moment we decide. When you listen and tune in to what your intuitive sense tells you is true, you connect to divine wholeness, the infinite potential within. And so the question is, what have you come to be in 2019? What you will write on your stone is not about doing. It is not a goal or a resolution. It's a quality, a state of being. Ellen Davenport said, "I have never heard of anyone writing on his or her stone, clean out the garage." What you have come to be is much stronger than anything you will ever do. You are asking divine guidance to show you a word or phrase that will guide you to your full potential this year. Your inspiration could come in a myriad of ways. It may seem to be a voice, a strong feeling, a sudden flash of insight or inspiration, or just that deep inner knowing. The word you are guided to write might be a noun, it could be a verb, it could be an adjective, no grammar police involved. Whatever comes to you is your name. You might be led to write one of the 12 powers: faith, strength, love, imagination, order, or any of the others. Your name may be a divine quality, like joy, peace, harmony, radiance, wholeness, integrity, or fearless. Remember, Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore said, "It is your mission to be all that you can imagine God to be." Your new name is a quality you are called to be in order to express on this earth God, in order to be, as Jesus told us, the light of the world. So in just a few moments, we're going to have the opportunity for you to turn within and listen for inspiration. Be open and receptive to your new name. Don't question. Don't ask, why me? Don't play the devil's advocate or argue or debate or ask how or what it means. Its meaning will be revealed to you in God's good time. Just listen, surrender to that power and presence, and write the name that comes to you. And we're going to prepare for this by affirming what we affirm every single Sunday, the great truth about our divine, and then we're going to go directly into meditation. So this is printed in the bulletin for those of you who are here for the first time. This affirmation that's said in Unity churches all over the world, this is what makes your new name possible. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life: God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Will you affirm that with me, please? There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life: God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. And so I invite you now to close your eyes and feel the one presence and power as you hold your stone gently in your hand. Take a deep healing breath, breathing into that inner sanctuary of your own soul. And as you exhale, just release any tension in your mind and body, any worries or angst in your life. Just let it go for this now moment. And as you continue to breathe, breathing in and breathing out, know that, one with the Most High, you are breathing the very breath of God. So in this consciousness, let's take this promise within. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. So as you consciously surrender, open your heart to the activity of the Holy Spirit and allow divine wisdom to speak. Then just listen. Just listen. Through the Christ within, the I Am of your being, you are open and receptive to your new name, a name that represents you as an individualized expression of God. Your name is a new way of being, a new title, a quality that Spirit is pressing out through you. Release your human self and surrender to the divine within. Ask, what have I come here to be? What have I come here to be? And in this moment of truth, trust and listen to the still, small voice. Listen for an insight to your divine purpose, an insight into your holy essence. Ask and you will receive. When your name comes to you, prayerfully write it on your stone. Then reflect about any steps you will take to live from your new identity. Let's do this for a couple of minutes in the silence. Now I invite you to open your eyes if you have not already done so, and just view the white stone in your hand, and just take the words into your heart and soul, the word or words, as a symbol of a new beginning. Behold, the Christ within is saying, I make all things new. And if nothing came to you during the ceremony, take your stone home and continue to ask. Your answer will come. This white stone is a symbol of who you are. Your stone carries your spiritual identity and a deeper awareness of your soul's journey in this lifetime. This is your true self, what the divine is calling you to be. It is a whisper to your soul that you are so much more than you have ever let come into expression. Every time you look at your white stone, realize you have been given the gift to begin anew, to live a more fulfilling life from the Christ of your being, to co-create with God. In this sacred moment, feel the presence of God and know your oneness. Know your I am-ness. And now we just come together, allowing deep gratitude to flow through us for receiving our new nature and for supporting one another in our spiritual identities. Along with this comes the power and guidance to achieve all you desire. Decree it, feel it, claim it. Know that you are on a path to greater spiritual awakening. And keep this stone as a reminder of that promise. And so it is, and so we joyously allow it to be as we finish our time of prayer and meditation by joyfully and prayerfully singing our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And leave us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.